At the beginning, I just want to say that many of us had the great privilege last evening to be on a boat on the water for 3 hours, invited there by Beverly Dibble with all her family because she celebrated her 90th birthday. And I wish she was here this morning so that we could sing happy birthday for her. But I spoke on behalf of all of us. They gave me a few moments to say something. And I just told everybody how much that family meant for us, how much they did through the years. And I also blamed her for bringing me here in the first place because she was the chair of the committee that did the final call. Anyhow, I just wanted to say that it is her birthday, and those of you who didn't know about it may want to give her a call sometime. 1 Thessalonians 5, the verses 12 through 21, and we read from the Message Bible. And now, friends, we ask you to honor those leaders who work so hard for you, who have been given the responsibility of urging and guiding you along in your obedience. Overwhelm them with appreciation and love. Get along among yourselves, each of you doing your part. Our counsel is that you warn the freeloaders to get a move on. Gently encourage the stragglers. And reach out for the exhausted, pulling them to their feet. Be patient with each person, attentive to individual needs. And be careful that when you get on each other's nerves, you don't snap at each other. Look for the best in each other, and always do your best to bring it out. Be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. Don't suppress the Spirit. And don't stifle those who have a word from the Master. On the other hand, don't be gullible. Check out everything. And keep only what's good. May the scripture readings of this morning speak to all of us today and reveal to you and me that God loves us deeply with a love that will never, never let us go. Brothers, sisters in Christ, you know there is a saying, speak when you're angry and you will make the best speech you will ever regret. Apparently, the early Christians in Thessalonica were a difficult bunch and not easy to get along with. And when we hear how Paul admonishes them, we must conclude that they did not have much respect for their spiritual leaders, and they had many arguments with one another. When evil came their way, they promptly responded with even more evil. Anyone messing with any of them could expect real trouble coming their way. And once again, Paul is holding the Christ light before them. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Well, not only the early Christians, but through the ages, people like you and me are quick to anger, quick to take revenge, and quick to respond to injustice. How do we respond? With greater injustice. That is not God's way. No. So let us make it somewhat more personal. How do you respond when you have reason to be angry? It made me think of a kind-hearted old man who was running to catch a bus. And just as he seemed to be gaining, the bus driver, with a purposeful smirk, pulled quickly away from the curb, splashing a shower of muddy water over the old man. So taking out his handkerchief, this kindly man softly murmured, "Oh well, may his soul find peace." Still more softly he added, "And the sooner the better." It seems to be so much part of human nature to repay evil with even more evil. Just listen to people arguing. It usually begins when someone says something nasty to another. Usually the other party reacts with an even nastier remark. From there on it becomes like a downward spiral. See, I can be nastier and meaner than you can. And when people look for trouble, we certainly make sure that they get it. You know, our first reaction is to draw our swords and to descend to even lower levels of response, joining the wolf packs and acting like wolves. It often sounds as if many of us have doctorates in dealing with those differing from us. Teaching them lessons, as we say, putting them in their rightful place, no matter how small or insignificant the difference. We are prone to set our conditions. We will only restore relations on our very own conditions. Peace? Okay. But that has to come quickly from two sides. You see, we don't take chances. We take no risks. We do not even give one extra step. If someone wants to be nasty, we are quick to show that we can be much nastier. Differences of opinion so easily become open hostility. We live in a world of downward spirals, down, down, being tapered deeper and deeper and deeper. And then comes the teachings of Jesus Christ. Jesus teaches a much better way, and I'm going to call it upward spirals. You know what that means? Showing love when hate seems to be justified. It happens when you and I put away our swords, when we turn the other cheek, when we refuse to be pulled down to a lower level and ascend to higher levels of response, soaring like an eagle, ignoring that which is petty, unnecessary, and unworthy. So Paul begs us, but remember before that, Jesus demonstrated with word and deed that there is a different, a better, and a more godly way. Jesus never reacts on the same level as his opposition. He takes sides for the losers when no one else seems to care. He disappears with a degraded tax collector into a sinner's home in Jericho, and he emerges with a repentant son of Abraham, willing to repay all the wrong that he had done. Jesus comes between a fallen woman and her executioners and sets her free from death, from shame, and of sin. And he teaches 70 times 7, forgiveness for those who trespass against us. Well, you and I often feel that even 7 times is plenty. He tells Peter to put his sword back into his sheath and not to defend him with earthly might. What's the lesson in all this? Jesus chooses to break every chain of hate and revenge and surprises people with his precious acts of love, of hope, and of forgiveness. Is that not really what our faith is all about? Following Jesus and seeking better ways to deal with one another. So even today, Jesus still beckons us to follow him, to rise to higher ground, and to respond in different ways. It began with Jesus. Jesus took the first step in the right direction. Someone has to do it. Someone has to do the unexpected and break the downward spiral of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Love bids us to take the first difficult steps and to break through the chain of hate and out of the paralysis brought about by the old way of responding to a world around us. We can overcome alienation by creating a climate for true and radical change. Jesus always finds a way to soften the hard lines on the faces of his opponents. When you and I live our faith, we will not fall in the trap of being sucked into a downward spiral. We will, for Jesus' sake, take the first step. Lift the level of conversation and begin an upward spiral. Living the upward spiral is a complete new level of being and living. It can and it will change the lives of those who used to live in the shadows, burdened by fear and unable to find real life. Jesus reached out to those who sought to either ignore or destroy his message. Through God's Holy Spirit, Jesus is still reaching out through the ages. And today, to you and me, in order to lift all of us up to a higher and a better level of living. Christ is the one who resurrects a Christian, who calls into the graves of sin, where we are buried under loads of guilt and debt, and calls us back to real life. As to the people of his times, the Jesus assurance still stands to this very day. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And if Jesus is the light of the world, there will be no famine. There will be no hunger. There will be no war. And maybe this is what we're all waiting for, believing deep, deep in our heart that finally God will triumph over the horrors of our times. That there will come a moment where our children and their children will sing the glory and the praise of a wonderful God. Jesus said, "No one who follows me stumbles around in darkness." And then he promises, "I provide plenty and enough of light to live in front of me and each one of us. Jesus is standing today, and he tells me and he tells you, choose today. Who do you really want to be?